at 8. Dave Christian will be at the Corner Galley in Massapequa, 8:30. The Loan Sharks Trio will be at Shandon Court, East Islip, at 9. Black and Sparrow will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 9:30. Your WUSB concert billboard for Saturday, May 16th. The New Master Sounds will be at the Brooklyn Bowl, 2 p.m. Liquid Phase, Old Squaw, Nick Hargreaves and the King Guys, all at Swallow East in Montauk, beginning 8 p.m. The Bob Dylan Birthday Tribute with the Kennedys, Rod McDonald, Russ Seeger, and more at the University Cafe, right here, Stony Brook University, 8 p.m. Easy G will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport at 10.
This is Mary Lamont, host of Down Home Country here on WUSB Stony Brook. This has been your WUSB Concert Billboard Announcements. Please check the online version at WUSB.FM.
And it is WUSB FM. It is exactly 6 p.m. on Tuesday night. And every Tuesday at 6 p.m., we have a really interesting show, a fun show. It's Off the Wall. So stay tuned. It's right here. WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. And you're listening to Off the Wall. Hi, E. How's it going?
I hope you're listening to Off the Wall. I'm good. Kyle, I am fine.
That's good.
I'm here.
I know you're here.
Because that's what my contract says. I have to be here.
We don't have contracts.
Well, it's about time we got contracts, don't you think?
No. I don't want a contract.
Well, I don't know how we're going to know where we're supposed to be if we don't have signed contracts telling us where to be. Okay, if
that would make it easier.
If it's Tuesday and 6 o'clock, we must be here and this must be off the wall.
This must be off the wall.
Yeah, and I'm just as happy to be here. It's a form of direction. It tells me to snap out of it and report to this particular location.
It does really force you to focus on some other things, and when you have a myriad of things going on in your life, as many people do,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's useful. It's therapeutic.
I'm myriaded out. You know.
Yeah, the myriad is overwhelmed. It's a tsunami.
It's a super myriad is what it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you need to snap out of it occasionally. And
Radio does that.
Mm-hmm. Radio does that. You know, this show has been very therapeutic for me sometimes when I'm in a funk. I'm in a funk now, actually.
Are you? Yeah.
Officially, I just want to let people know I'm in a funk. So
You were going to share.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know either until... I'm learning as I'm going along what I just said. But, yeah, you know, when it gets warm, and boy, did it get warm. What the hell? It didn't. There's no spring. It just jumped into summer. High 80s in the Fahrenheit scale, up to 30 in the Celsius scale.
Exceedingly warm, you might say. Yeah.
And there's something about warm air. When warm air first arrives, I get depressed. You know, I don't know why, but this happens every year. Also, you know, other things, too, a little minutia of daily life, you know, having to deal with finances and work and all kinds of things that can just drive you crazy if you process them too much in your head. And many of us do that. We worry about all sorts of things, and I'm very good at that. I can just get going on all kinds of worst-case scenarios and just... having pie charts in my head and little graphs and things like that, and it's not fun when you let it take over, and that's why it's important to get away and do something else, and maybe keep doing something else, because ultimately what's really important in life, you know, you look around, and I know this of a lot of people. I mean, I'm no exception to this, but I know there are a lot of people out there who have it pretty good. You know, they've got, in fact, most of us listening have it pretty good. In the Western world, in this particular listening area. And sure, we all encounter all kinds of misfortunes and unpleasantness and setbacks and things like that. But you can certainly have it a lot worse. And actually, you know, when I say that to myself, that makes me even more depressed because it makes me realize, wow, you know, there's a lot further down to go if you're on a downward climb. But the point is that it's not that bad. Whatever is going on right now, it's not the worst thing in the world, and it's probably fixable to a degree. You can certainly turn things around and maybe just not focus on it as much, because in the end, you know, what's really important? What the most important thing is to be happy. The most important thing is to be productive, is to have the people you care about around you, and nice things like that. So that's pretty much where I am right now.
Well,
sorry.
It's also useful, like, if you're not caught up in your own problems, you can be of help to other people. And there's plenty of people that also are going through these things, and you could be of help to other people.
I like to stick my nose in other people's affairs and try and help them and get my mind off of my problems, too. Yes, that does help, and there are many ways you can do that. There are many ways, just by being around, or in some cases, by not being around, you can help people. The important thing is to not just do the same thing all the time. And that happens to so many of us that get locked into a routine of one sort or another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all around you. I mean, there's so many things that people just sort of go through automatically, you might say.
Yes.
And they're sort of just sort of stuck in a process that maybe they feel out of control in their routinity of life.
Mm-hmm.
But the damage, the real damage that it does to you, I think mentally is something people don't consider. They don't realize, gosh, you know, maybe maybe this is causing me to be, you know, higher. I have higher stress as a result of not getting exposed to some different things. Maybe getting some fresh air, some new scenery. These things are very helpful.
And stop worrying about things. Stop worrying about appearance. Stop worrying about comparison, where you stand in comparison to somebody that you think you should be even with.
Right, right.
None of it matters. None of it is important. The only thing that's important is how you feel about yourself and just doing something different every day. That's what I think. Just trying to just enjoy life to the fullest. There, that's my moment of zen.
Cool. Well, now that we're all sort of centered and grounded and our chakras are all lined up here, we can talk about some of the other exciting things, activities, events, you name it. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on. It's warm, both locally, nationally. There's crazy news. The Earth is apparently upset at us yet again.
You see, this is the thing, all right? I thought there was a problem with my Google News cache because I kept getting the same stories over and over again. I kept getting earthquake in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
I kept getting George Zimmerman involved in the shooting.
Yeah.
And all the stories that I've read before were popping up again. And
no.
It turns out that, it turns out that actually they are happening again. It's not that they're, it's repeated. There's nothing wrong with my computer. That's, a relief. But
and that's what people might note is that there were really serious aftershocks in Nepal.
And near George Zimmerman, too.
And George Zimmerman's aftershocks, of course.
Yeah, he's a walking fault. I mean, it's basically, well, we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit later. But, Nepal, wow. 7.4, which I think is about what they had last time.
3 or 4. And now apparently it's five orders of magnitude less when you go from 7.8 to 7.3.
I don't understand
that was the soundbite that I caught this morning, and I had to pause and try to take that in. But apparently that is indicative of the Richter scale. It's a very exponentially ordered scale from what I understand. So things tend to get much more severe as it goes up incrementally.
Why don't they just have a scale of 1 to 100? Wouldn't that be a lot easier for people to get their heads around? You know, orders 7.8 and 7.4, it doesn't sound that different.
But no, but it is.
Really
apparently
different.
It's like 5 times the magnitude or 5 times the intensity. I don't know.
Okay, so it should be like a 35 or something. You know, that's 7
right.
times 5.
Right, right.
About there. Would somebody be hurt by doing that? You know, just making it so that we can follow along? I mean, all those science people behind their doors, they can talk in Richter scales. Okay, but for the rest of us out here,
right,
something we can understand. You know, I'm starting to sound right-wing, I know, but I just don't understand. I don't see a reason why not to do that.
I think that's why Kelvin's never really took off.
Well, Kelvin is easy. You just add 273 to Celsius.
That's true.
Yeah, that's even I got that one.
Right, right.
What do you say that we just start our own scale? If they're not going to do it, all right, this is what I've always been taught. If someone's not going to do something for you, you got to do it yourself. So, okay, if scientists aren't going to go out there and make a scale that humans can appreciate of earthquake disaster, we just do it ourselves, and we figure out, you know, orders of magnitude and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And we just come up with a comparable number on a scale of 1 to 100.
Okay, so the first things first, how do we name it? What is the name that we come up with? What would our alternative scale be?
Well, Richter doesn't make any sense.
No, that's a terrible name.
It doesn't mean earthquake.
The Rumble scale.
I mean, I would say the Goldstein scale because I invented it, but that's not right. You know, I don't want the credit. I don't. I'm not like Richter, you know, wherever he was. But it should, I think, maybe reflect us somehow.
There should be like a bit of a sort of respect due, you know, kind of homage.
The Stoney scale.
Because
it was
that?
Invented.
Okay,
Stoney
okay, yeah, there you
so,
go.
It sort of sounds like Earth.
The campus, yeah, Stoney.
Stoney
bolt, yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah?
I like that.
And people who are stoned will appreciate it even more.
Yeah, bro.
Stony scale.
Yeah, the Stony scale. It's really moving.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Did you feel that?
Whoa.
That was a one. We can barely feel a one at all. Could have been somebody closing the door. It could have been the earth rumbling. But that was a one.
No, if it was a deep, centered quake,
uh-huh,
like these ones in Nepal, That would definitely be a 1. Maybe a 1-2, but I'm not sure.
Well, what is the... I guess the first thing we have to figure out is what is the biggest earthquake you can possibly have? You know? I'm going to look this up right now. I've got a computer in front of me. I'm going to try and find out what the biggest earthquake ever was on the Richter scale. And then from that, we can make that 100, I guess. Assuming that it can't get any worse.
Before your very eyes, we're doing some... research on the very largest quake. I'm imagining it's been called a superquake.
Most powerful, and what do you think Google fills in? What do you think? Don't look, don't look. Whenever you ask somebody something, oh, they always look. No, what, most powerful.
Oh, come on. And this from the person who never has anyone look at things when you tell them where to look. Right.
What I should do is close, cover your eyes first and then ask a question. That's what I... Okay. Did you look? Did you see?
I glanced, but I didn't catch
any
shape.
Okay, so what's the first... What do you think the first entry from most powerful is that Google would predict?
Person.
No, it's kind of surprising. Most powerful, passport.
Oh.
I wouldn't...
Well, diplomatic, right?
Hey, my passport's out for renewal.
Diplomatic passport would be the most powerful. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're getting a fresh one,
huh? This... Okay, we're trying to think of what we did.
That was
week.
Cool.
Every week we have this horrible time at the beginning of the show. We're trying to remember what we did, you know. And people always ask, "Hey, what's new?" I can never answer that question because I don't file it categorically in my head what just happened throughout the last 7 days or however long it's been since I talked to that person. So I'm very bad at answering that question.
Well, it's the little things that are really cool. They kind of fall by the wayside because so many uncool things tend to take up the preponderance of our time, and that's, I think, the dilemma there. But yeah, that was a really interesting thing that you had to go through. I know I did the very same thing recently as well.
Well, I haven't proven that it's interesting yet, but I also wanted to point out something else too. That every week we watch John Oliver's show, and they always have that little icon that sort of sums up the week.
It's the periodic table of interesting things.
Are we the only ones that have noticed that? It only is on screen for a second, but it's the one icon that changes every week. And we always pause right before the show starts, and we try to think, okay, what happened this week?
Still can't think of it then.
You know, I could not think of a single thing. Sometimes I get it right. I've gotten it right, I think, twice in the entire history of the show.
I think I might have gotten one or two times.
But it's always something kind of obscure. What was it this week?
Deflategate.
Yeah, Deflategate. Like, you know, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was all over towards the end of the week, and such and such's integrity and career. And
Okay.
It makes total sense, but I would never guess it.
All over the place.
Sure. No, that's okay. That's the point of our show.
Well, yeah, but you know what? We're like two footnotes away from the original topic.
That's cool.
But on Deflategate, okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the New England Patriots apparently deflated the balls a little bit, not entirely, for what was it, semifinal game last, you know what?
It was the Super Bowl.
Who won? Who won the Super Bowl? Do you remember? Because I don't. I honestly don't remember.
It was not the Seahawks.
Was it the Patriots?
They got it stolen from them.
Was it the Patriots?
I think it was.
Okay, see, we
don't care.
That's how important this is to us.
It was. I think it was New England, and they got it in, like, the very last.
Okay.
I mean, we were in Austria when we were watching this.
You're right.
And,
was it the Super Bowl or was it the semifinal?
They were way behind, and then they caught it. It was like one of the semifinal games.
Yeah, they came from behind, and they won something. Somebody won.
They did really, really well, and then the next day of the
finals. It was Green Bay. They were playing Green Bay, weren't they?
That was Green Bay, wasn't it?
So did Green Bay come from behind, or did they fall to defeat? Don't know. Don't care.
Yeah, it's irrelevant, I mean, at this point.
It's just a game, folks. That's all it is. All right, so anyway, back to Deflategate before back to the passport.
Sure.
So my question is, they deflated the balls. How is that an advantage, deflating the balls? Do you understand how that's an advantage? I'm sure a sports person out there can answer this.
I think it changes the aerodynamics firstly.
Uh-huh. If it changes the aerodynamics for the Patriots,
right.
Doesn't it also change the aerodynamics for the other team? My question is, how does it benefit one team more than another?
They're not expecting it.
Well, okay, but after you kick the ball once, then you know that, hey, these balls are acting weird, or maybe it's the temperature or something. And from that point, they adjust themselves accordingly.
They adjust their balls?
Well, no, they adjust the way that they kick the balls, or what, I don't know. You know, it just seems to me that if they did this, you know, you figure it out sooner or later that this is how it's working today. Because all kinds of things can affect
it. I think it was a part of the procedure for the way they were handled, and it was more systemic and sort of like a situation where all of them would be more or less deflated or in a state of unusability as far as the league is concerned. It's all, I think, kind of a bit overblown.
That's a good one. Nice, I like that.
Well, I mean, it's just silly because the whole thing's over, but I guess it's a big deal, and I'm, you know, I guess they deserve to go through a certain protocol for the whole thing, but yeah, I guess it would make it really difficult if not just one of the balls was deflated, but all of them were, and you had to do, like, triage on all this sports equipment in the middle of a playoff game. I mean, I think the timing thing would make it difficult, the fact that it's a live event. I don't know. It's a good question.
If you're a good football player, you should be able to play with any kind of ball as far as the amount of inflation it has in it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it should be so particular that it's going to throw you off if it's off, you know, just by a little bit.
Yeah, but maybe it doesn't go as far.
But again, it doesn't go as far for the other team, too.
I mean, there could be, like, a threshold with the ball where, like, if it's where it's noticeable, and then maybe at a certain point it loses complete, like, ability to fly very well at all. You know, the little subtleties of the physics, I'm sure, which are very interesting to prosecutors and people involved, but yeah, it's
are they going to prosecute people?
Probably
for this?
Confused. I don't know. It just seems like
if they cheated, you know, and if it's a big deal, they should strip them of the title then. If they won the title, which I'm not sure they did.
No, I don't think they did. I think they were out of those rounds by then. Maybe not.
You know, I would look, but I'm in the middle of a Google search and I can't do a Google search while I'm doing it. Oh, I could open another tab, but then I'll lose all the things that are. Most powerful passport. I'm going to tell my passport story in just a second.
Yeah, let's come back to this. I'm sure we'll get some mail about exactly what's going on with Deflategate and who won the Super Bowl. So write us otw@2600.com and we'll catch up with that story.
That's right. We're always the last to find out these things, but we take the time to digest it. So anyway, this is what happens when you put your coffee cup down on this table. Hear this? Lot of noise and reverberation too. Listen to how long it reverberates. It sounds like some kind of monster. How do you make it stop? Okay, now I'm going to put it on this other table here. Listen to this. You don't hear anything. That's how it should be.
See, that is fine WUSB furniture.
So, folks, when you come in here with your beverages or whatever, don't put them on this table. Put them on this one. It just makes a lot more radio sense.
This message brought to you by WUSB Stony Brook.
Are you happy with, wait a minute, why does your coffee, which actually has tea in it, why does it say Harry on it? Wow, did they write the wrong names on it again? I like giving fake names, so do you. It's just when we have to think about them for more than like 5 seconds, that's when they're on to us that we're thinking of fake names. But I like to do that. And then it doesn't match the credit card you give them, and they have to try and figure that one out.
I don't even need this drink. It's nice. It's a nice temperature in here. Please, I'm ready for the passport thing. Let's get into that.
Well, I was going to go off on another tangent about coffee shops on campus and how they used to be. How it used to be sort of this underground thing where people just, you know, took their time, and there were students conversing with other students. But now it's like a sweatshop down the hall. I'm not going to give names out of what coffee shop I'm talking about, but I will say it's a commercial coffee shop. It's a chain. It's very popular, and you might see some outside in the real world. And down the hall, you know, I've never seen such a busy coffee shop of that brand anywhere else. It's not like we're not like equals anymore. It's not like you're going down and like talking to your friends or whatever and just sort of hanging out, and maybe there's like a handful of people. Now it's like 30, 40 people down there online, and it's like as fast as any Wall Street place could be. And the people, to their credit, they move really fast. They get things done, but it's not the same atmosphere at all. When did that happen?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's funny because you can really tell if they only have a couple people working, it's really noticeable when it gets busy versus the half dozen or, 10 people that end up mm-hmm. running around, just serving the swaths of people coming in and cycling through. And I mean, they have they get really, really backed up. It's a huge space, but golly,
yeah.
I mean, it's something's up there. It doesn't seem like the most efficient way, or they're due for maybe another cafe. And, you know, there should be rival cafes. I remember doing news stories for the school paper about a new coffee shop opening up on campus, and those were great places, and I don't see why this place couldn't have a better variety. I know there are some other cafes on campus.
Best cafe in the world. I could say this without being qualitative and putting our non-commercial radio license at risk by saying so, because they no longer exist and haven't for quite some time. But the best cafe ever, Rainy Night House, downstairs in this union building in the basement. That's where people used to go between classes at night. You know, you'd see somebody strumming guitar down there. It was just kind of a cool place. And just about every dormitory here on campus had their own version of it. They had their own cafe or, dare I say it, bar or saloon.
Lounge.
Yeah,
that was another term, yeah.
The drinking age was 18 back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, way back then. And people, I mean, they were about as responsible or irresponsible as they are today. It's just we weren't so freaked out about it. So, yeah, you could go downstairs and have a beer, and nobody thought anything of it. But they were all student-run. They were run by the students who lived in the dormitories or who happened to be in the union, and it was, you know, it was a lesson on how to run a business, for one thing, but it was also one of many places that you could go on campus for various things, and they all had their own personality, and none of them were chains. So, sad to think about that.
Yeah, and there's there was like probably no wireless internet at those cafes.
There was no internet at all. It was definitely, we had a UNIVAC on campus. That was fun. I never understood that thing. That was hear that? Our UPS is going off again.
Oh, so of the many pieces of equipment here at WUSB that we enjoy upgrading and maintaining,
all right, everybody file out.
Uninterruptible power supplies are one of our favorite, and every now and then they start chirping at us to tell us that they love us, and right now, one is speaking to us.
It'll be over soon.
It's going to calm down, but that's just equipment saying it needs love, and we're all about love here for the most part, especially
because
when it comes to equipment.
When you want love, the best way to do it is to emit a high-pitched chirping sound.
Yeah.
About 90 seconds or whatever. It's going to stop now. No, okay. Well, it's going to stop soon. It will.
Yeah, I can feel it anytime now.
You know, there was a case recently, speaking of coffee shops, at a Starbucks. And I'm not saying the one down the hall is that. I'm not saying anything about what's here. I'm saying out in the real world, apparently they have, like, a cash register failure that spanned their network. See, it stopped. The stores were closing because the people behind the cash register could not figure out any other way to take money. I mean, they could still make coffee, but the cash register was not working. For one thing, it's ridiculous to have something that's networked so that when it fails in one place, it fails everywhere. But imagine having people running cash registers that have no other idea of how to process money. They have to have that machine telling them how much change and what something costs. You know, a private coffee shop would look at their own prices, would probably write it down on a piece of paper, keep track that way, but they would never close because something electronic failed. But when you're not actually attached to the place, when it's not your place, you're just a worker in a chain, you don't care as much. You don't try as hard, and you don't have that passion for it.
Right, and when something is down or doesn't work, you're at the mercy of it. You're paralyzed because your role is dependent on this equipment that does so much for you, that is so convenient, but it really leaves you high and dry when it fails.
Yeah, it's great to have these little devices, little gizmos to do all kinds of cool things for you, but it should not replace your true abilities.
Yeah, well, you and I had a great discussion about that, and I really do. I mean, I admire a lot of the advancements and exciting things that are out there, but, you know, it's also amazing what you can do with your brain. Just, being imaginative, doing something creative, like we talked about the other week, doing something physically astounding that, you know, sets the bar a little higher for yourself, and you realize, wow, I've got more talents than I thought, or maybe there are more, I'm more physical than I thought. You know, those are great, great reinforcements, and that's great continuing learning to be able to do, and to supplement everything with devices that are potentially vulnerable really sets you at a disadvantage long term, because it is an amazing thing to be able to keep an entire schedule in your head of maybe, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 different things that you might do, different categories of things, even with multiple tasks in those categories. I mean, it is possible, and I think I'm always amazed. I amaze myself sometimes. I'm very proud when I juggle a hugely complicated schedule and don't really keep notes, and I've got it all sorted.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing ability, and people can do it. It's just they're choosing not to because there's a ubiquity of resources that help, but on the other hand, could leave you, as I said, high and dry.
Well, I'm always amazed by the need for calendars.
Yeah.
Like the daily calendar that tells you when you're supposed to be someplace. Now, I can understand busy executives.
Students.
Meetings all the time. I didn't need one when I was a student. I knew when my classes were. You know, but average people that aren't in an office environment where they're constantly having meetings, they're not some kind of executive, you don't really need to pencil somebody in and have it beep at you. Because if it doesn't beep at you, then you're not going to actually show up. It's a crutch. And
yeah.
I can remember when I was supposed to meet somebody someplace. I meet a good number of people in various places. You just keep that in your head. There's all kinds of things you can keep in your head. And it's good mental exercise. You know, being able to multiply without having a calculator is a good mental exercise. You know, being able to spell properly without a spell checker, that's good mental exercise. These are things that we should have in our head, and it's good to have a backup in case we want to check something, you know, or in case we hit our head and can't do it for a moment, whatever. But it should not be a crutch. It should not be the primary way of doing things. Why won't you let me tell the passport story? Can I do that now?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm excited to hear about it.
Well,
tell me.
Okay, so my passport expired. Well, it hasn't expired yet, but it's about to expire.
Oh.
So I figured I should go out and get it renewed.
Yeah, I know, and this is exciting because you could get more pages.
I could get more pages.
And you can also get an ID card too.
You can get an ID card too. Yes.
And you could you could get expedited and luxury treatment.
Didn't get that.
And border control valet.
No.
Park your bags? I don't know.
No, I didn't get any of that. Basically, well, the thing is, it sounds like we're going to have an adventure next month that we're not going to reveal any information about, but it will require that kind of a document.
Oh, okay.
So I realized, hey, if I'm going to do this, I got to get this thing renewed because I won't be able to actually go places unless that happens. And there's enough time to do it, so I'm not worried.
So you're all set, though? I mean, you got the stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
And we're probably going to hear back then.
I hope so.
Okay.
I put a return receipt on it. You know, I haven't checked.
Yeah.
I went to the post office to mail the thing. I'm getting ahead of myself, I know. But I went to the post office to mail the thing, and I said, I like the whatever that is that allows you to know when it showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Not a return receipt, but I can check online and see if it got, you know, delivered.
Delivery confirmation.
And they said, okay, so this is when it's supposed to be delivered, but no guarantee that it's going to be delivered on that day. The post office, how is the post office unable to guarantee when mail is going to arrive? Of all the people out there, it seems like they're the ones that could guarantee that more than anyone. But every time, you know, you just mail something, no guarantee, might get there on that day, might not, who knows, unless you pay for some expedited service that, again, they're not nearly as accountable as some of those other services. But that's a rant for a different day. Okay, so, yeah, I realized I needed to get a passport photo. And, boy, what an awful passport photo that was. You saw the second one, because you only need to submit one and you get two.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this glare on my face. Well, I had a glare for a reason. But I realized my face sort of sets into a glare if I'm not careful, you know. Some people their default face is a smile. You know, people like that, they always, like, settle into a smile.
God, that's so annoying.
They are annoying, thank you. And other people, kind of neutral. I settle for neutral, but, you know, I look and my mouth has a definite downturn to it. And I don't want to be known for the downturned expression as the default. That's like, you know, cranky old guys that are sitting on rocking chairs.
Smelling of urine.
Okay, fine, if you want to illustrate it even more. Yeah, I definitely don't want to be known as that. So that taught me something when I saw that. But the thing is, okay, so again, I'm way ahead of myself. I went to a local place. Actually, it was about 15 miles away, a place where I can get a passport photo. It's another one of those chains, and you can figure out which one it is maybe by seeing who actually does that. And when I got there, you know, I went in and said, hey, I'd like to get a passport photo.
They said, oh, we're expecting you. Please, step right up.
You know, I wish they had. The guy behind the counter said to this other young guy, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for you to learn how to do this.
Oh, no.
Oh, great. I'm going to be part of this person's training. And the guy, the trainee, said, I don't really want to do that. Oh, this is just wonderful. This is going so swimmingly.
That's the spirit.
He said, I'm just going to screw it up, like, filling me with all kinds of confidence. And the guy says, no, you have to learn this. So they're arguing about, you know, who's not going to take care of me. Eventually, they get the guy to do it, you know, he's asking all these questions. I just want to get out of that. I just want to get this thing done.
So, where are you going?
No, not those kind of questions. Like, where do I put his head in the camera, you know? Oh, yeah, the forehead has to be right by that line. The chin
which
has
line?
To be not below this. Yeah, there's two lines at the bottom. Which one?
The top line or the bottom line?
I have to listen to all that.
No, hold it this way.
So, I'm putting on this expression, which at that point was still pleasant. And he keeps pressing buttons, and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening at all.
No, this is going to take a second. What are you just...
So after, like, 5 or 6 minutes of this, the other guy comes over and starts looking at the camera, trying to figure out what's going on here. It's one of these handheld big cameras. And that's when they realize that the rechargeable batteries are dead in it. They're like AA batteries or whatever, and they're rechargeable, and they're just dead. So then they start looking for the cord to plug it in so that they could run it off AC. And they can't find the cord anywhere. They found a cord, but it wasn't the right kind. It was for a different camera they didn't have. They said, yeah, when the central headquarters sent us this camera, they didn't send us the cord. I was like, oh, you know, this is really, none of this is my problem. I just want my damn picture. And this is not supposed to be so hard. And this is what you do.
Never.
And they're looking around for batteries. And, you know, next to my head, literally next to my head, is a pack of AA batteries. They sell them there. And I was saying, you know what, I'll buy the batteries, put the batteries in the camera, take my picture, I'll take the batteries out, I'll bring them home, and I'll use them for something else.
But you weren't going to ring yourself up.
No, but it was just getting insane.
Interesting.
Eventually, though, the guy, instead of doing that, kept searching for a cord and found one that worked. And then I actually got my picture finally.
Wow.
And he let me have it for free because I was so patient. But
wow.
I had a really cranky look on my face at the end of all of it. So, yeah, nothing is easy these days. Nothing is simple.
I don't know, man. I swore myself off smiling in photos ever since I updated one of my ID pictures. Because some crazy person with no shirt in the DMV was, like, talking to me about my bicycle or something. And it was, like, the weekend after some festival in Washington, and he had, like, some stolen bike that he had gotten over the weekend at the festival. And he's like, oh, I got a pretty nice bike. Oh, you got a pretty nice bike. And the guy's like, behind the counter, all right, sir, step over. And, you know, I'm, like, looking outside at my bicycle, and this crazy person's talking to me, and I'm like, he's like, all right, go ahead. And he's smiling, and it's just the worst. It's the worst smile. I was doing two things at once. I was looking at him, but I was thinking about and having this weird conversation.
No, I remember that picture.
It's so scary.
It's more like
scary.
You're gritting your teeth. That's what it looks like in the picture.
I look like... I look terrifying. No, I swore myself. I think, especially in passport photos, a nice neutral expression, like you said, that's good. And then when we get it back, we should hold them both our passports together. Mm-hmm. You know, see how the two pictures look. I was thinking about this when you were telling me you were going to get your new passport photo, because we need to evaluate our passport photos and ask ourselves, would you let either of these two people in together? You know, do these two look like a likely bunch of mischief? Yeah, are we the right type of mischief makers for the kinds of places we'd like to go? And I think the answer is resoundingly yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
They want this type of mischief. You name the country, they're begging for it, whether they realize it or not, because we're good chaps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for you to get your passport photo, and we will do a comparison, maybe even a blind, double blind. We'll just ask a blind person to look at our passport photos and to see how we look together,
mm-hmm.
Because we'll probably be together if we do some traveling.
Well, I asked for the card, too, as well as the passport. I just realized I only gave them one photo.
Yeah.
They didn't ask for a second photo for the card, so I don't think I need a second photo for the card.
They'll probably make it somehow
yeah.
on a mimeograph.
You used to have to submit two, I thought, but apparently you can just submit one now, and that's all you need. So hopefully, I've given it enough time. I think 3 weeks is about what it takes. Or how long did it take for you when you got yours? It was about 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. They're pretty good with the turnaround.
And I'll have the extra pages because mine is full right now. I made it in just a nick of time because I don't think there's room for me to go to another country on my passport the way it is now.
I think that's a great idea, especially for people that do a bit more of the like terrestrial border crossings and stuff, which we've done a lot of, and that it just really is nice to have more pages for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
that was tangent number two, right? But I forgot what tangent number one was. Do you remember?
For the entire hour.
I don't know. I got there somehow. I thought I was talking about something else. I got to the passport. What made me bring up a passport? Because I was typing into Google, the most powerful earthquake. That's what it was. Okay. I'm sorry. Totally forgot about that.
No, that's good, because that'll catch us right back up with
about the Richter scale.
What we were talking about, our new Richter scale.
We're making a new Richter scale. What is the most powerful earthquake?
Superquake.
Wait a minute, why am I in Google News?
Superquake.
Okay, somehow I got thrown into Google News. I get back into Google Plane. Okay, what is the most popular name? No, populated state, no. Powerful. Now it's powerful handgun is the first choice. Okay, earthquake. Recorded. Okay, this is the answer. I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to click on that. The 1960 Valdivia earthquake was the most powerful earthquake recorded, rating 9.6?
Yes.
On the what now?
The moment magnitude scale.
What the hell is the moment magnitude scale? What, they're going to throw another scale at us now? I don't know what that is.
Moment magnitude scale.
Okay, I'm going to The Guardian. They have the 10 most powerful earthquakes. Japan, 8.9. Chile, in 1960, 9.5. And I assume these are all Richter scales. I'm pretty sure they are. I don't see anything recent. Oh, there's something recent. 8.8 off Chile in 2010. Okay, so we have our top earthquakes. So, all right, this 9.5 off of Chile in 1960, if 7.8 is how many times orders of magnitude more than 7.4?
Five-fold. So that's maybe 15 or 20 times the magnitude of the 7.8 or 7.3.
That's like a comet hitting the Earth. That's what that is.
Mm.
Well, you know, this Mac, I don't know how to search on a page. What key do I hit?
Apple F.
Apple F, except this is a Windows keyboard. So,
Windows F,
F. There it is. Okay. Richter. Is Richter in this piece anywhere? I don't think it is.
Hmm.
So if it doesn't say Richter, that might mean that this isn't the Richter scale they're referring to. You see how complicated this is? Shouldn't be this complicated.
Maybe the moment magnitude scale is another way of saying Richter scale.
Right, I'm going to put Richter at the end of my search now, and maybe that'll tell me for sure. Okay. Well, I'm on a Wikipedia page now, and that has a whole lot of information about all sorts of things. Yeah, you know, we're just going to redo it. We're just going to redo it. We're going to have a better scale so that we're not so confused. I think it is Richter, though, 9.6. That's something. Hey, do you want to take, what do you call it?
Phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you ready to take phone calls?
I'm ready. Now, this week, I think we're not going to have the board get the better of us. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep listening to live air. I'll be confused, but you won't be.
Okay.
Because you'll be listening to yourself 7 seconds ago, and I'll be listening to you 7 seconds after that.
All right, I might interrupt myself or cut myself off.
Yes. Just don't forget to put that channel up in program, otherwise you'll hear nothing but dead air.
Right.
So
immediately. And then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do these.
There's no harm in putting it up now and relaxing. Yes, just put it up. Bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
And just sit back, and now you do the thing. Because you don't have to turn it up at that very moment.
Okay.
Because it's not doing anything.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So this might be really screwed up.
Enjoy the trip to delay, folks.
Oh
and let me get up the phone number, too, because it'll be 7 seconds
later. Yeah, 631-632-6901.
We'd like to hear from you. Go ahead. Don't
Hi, worry. This is Butch Trucks from the Allman Brothers Band, and you're listening to 90.1 WUSB in Stony Brook.
Here. And we should be in delay here.
Well, I think we're in delay. I haven't heard myself yet. I haven't heard you.
I'm here. Think you're
I
with
hear
me.
You, but you're... Okay, you need to toggle that switch because there's something wrong with
the
other switch. Right. Now wait a few seconds because it'll take a while.
I'm sorry about that, everybody. But you are listening to WUSB, Stony Brook.
That's weird. You did everything.
And everything seems to be right on the instrument over there.
Listening in our correct channel. So,
and
yet again, the wonders of broadcasting.
And I'm listening in their correct channel. So,
calls momentarily,
yet again, the wonders of broadcast here. We will be taking calls momentarily, 631-632-6901, and at the moment,
and we're back, I think
we're in general, and
we're
back in program.
Yeah, you know, folks, we did everything right this time. The board doesn't work. I don't know what's going on. But you heard us far, far away.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything is in the right place, but it's not working. We tested it, too. It came across in Cuba. It's not coming across on the air.
So, and this is just an example of just when you get confident enough, it can really set you back. You get confused again because you think you had it right and something technically isn't quite so right. But, hey,
here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that channel up and play something long in audition. In fact, why don't you put our theme up? Okay, you're going to have to... You see the turntable there? The turntable's coming up on, or CD player, rather, that's coming up on?
Yeah.
You got to throw that into audition, and that means grinding your thumb into the switch. No, the switch that's broken off. Yeah, that one. Got to put that in audition and bring that up. Is that CD 2? Okay. And we have to put the theme in there. What we're going to do is play
right.
The theme in audition.
No, that's a good test.
And then when the theme comes up, you'll know that delay is working again. So let's put delay up in program there. Bring it all the way up. Is it playing?
I'm going to cue this up. It should start playing.
Okay, that way we'll both hear it.
Right.
And
goodness. It should come up, of course, delayed. And
but it's playing. If you bring it up really, really loudly, you should be able to hear it in the background. Let's try that. All the way up. Yeah, I hear it. Way in the background. Okay, that's the problem right now. So leave it up at about 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fiddle around with all the connections. And you keep talking.
Yeah, I will keep talking. We've been talking about Deflategate. We've been talking about passports and travel and other interesting things. Also, the Richter scale and the events in Nepal. Really, really tragic stuff going on there, and that is that's about it. That's as much. Anything else you'd like to talk about? 631-632-6901. This is Off the Wall. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
I'm making progress.
Where our equipment is maintained and treated with all the tender, loving care you would expect from such a community radio station. And we're free form here. We get to do what we like. We talk about all kinds of issues. So please, give us a call. 631-632-6901. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're up to. Just say hi. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. You can also write us, otw@2600.com. Please write in. If there's something we covered, you're catching up maybe on a couple older shows, or there's something that we forgot to mention tonight, that happens. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. We talked about this a little bit earlier that is going on, and for one reason or another, it slips by. So if there's something you think is up our alley and that maybe is worth a moment or two, please let us know. Write in and or give us a call. The email address again is otw@2600.com. And our telephone number here at the station is 631-632-6901. If you're on campus, that's 26901.
I'm out of ideas. I'm going to... I've gone through two patch cords. I'm going to go through another set.
That's a pretty substantial amount of testing you've done so far.
I've tested every connection. I've tested every switch. And nothing is fixing this.
It remains a mystery here at the control board here. Why we cannot get into delay. And we'd love to take your calls. The delay system helps us be compliant and we desperately want to hear what you have to say, and this equipment's essential in allowing your voice to be heard. So bear with us. As I said, you could write in, and if there is something that we maybe forgot to talk about or that you heard and wanted to bring to our attention, we'd love to hear about it. So write us or give us a call. Again, we're reachable during this showtime, 631-632-6901. And we're feverishly testing phone system. But we don't have any calls, so I guess maybe this is for the better. People,
that's a relief.
I don't think people are really interested in calling. And, you know, people don't write. They don't call anymore anyway.
Well, they're doubled over in laughter listening to us trying to get this to work.
No, don't think the worst of them. I mean, they support us in, I think, more ways than we're able to realize in moments like this. So everyone is cheering for us, and we're very sorry that we couldn't get the delay system set up for you. We'll work on this in the future. Do you still need this going, or should I declare our test done?
How much time do we have?
Well, we're down to about 6 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm going to turn the delay system off and then turn it on again.
Oh, classic.
That's the one thing I haven't reset yet.
Classic. So, listen to this.
Let's see if we get a loud click on the air. So please be quiet when I turn it off. If we get a loud click, that tells me the delay is working. Actually, okay, I don't know why we're hearing that. Are we hearing that 7 seconds later, or is that coming out live? I just turned the delay machine off.
Oh, pause it for a second.
Oh, you know what? You know what's happening? We're patched into that channel.
Oh, we're patching.
That's why it's coming over there, because we turned the delay off, and all of a sudden it started working. That made no sense.
That does. Okay.
All right, so I'm going to turn it on again. It'll stop working, and then really stop working, so hang on. Okay, now it's being turned on. It powers up. It does all that wonderful technological...
gobbledygook.
Yeah, I have to wait for that light to stop flashing, and then I can press the button, and then... we'll really hear it stop working.
So,
yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind? We didn't talk about George Zimmerman. You know, I really wanted to talk about him.
I wanted to talk about this $9 computer that sold out in Kickstarter for a couple days. It's amazing. Technology is getting so cheap and so tiny now.
I'm pressing the button now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you see, it stopped working just like I said, except now it might start. Oh, I think it's working now.
Yeah, that sounds like delay over there.
That is delay. How about that? So
on delay.
So for some reason, turning it off and turning it on again is what it was needed.
Amen.
Folks, we're sorry. Our time is up, and we can't take calls.
We can't.
But
it's,
you heard us try.
Really,
you heard us try ever so hard, and wow. Okay, we're going to have a talk with the powers that be here about this kind of thing not happening. Yeah. How about the outro? Is that going to work? Don't forget to put that back in programs, or Finn will have your head.
Yeah, I've been on the other end of that, so I know how that goes.
Yeah, because
definitely.
It really grinds into your fingers.
Ow.
We can talk over this outro, specially selected for us.
Oh, I might?
Actually,
okay,
yeah,
cool. That's fine. Well, here we go.
So, closing thoughts, then, on anything else that we didn't get to tonight.
Oh, my golly.
If you encounter George Zimmerman, please don't anger him, because he likes to have a gun in his hand and he waves it at people. You just should be careful, especially in Florida.
And be creative. This is great. Great time of the year. Mm-hmm. Talk to people. Talk to your neighbors. You know, do fun stuff. Show your art. Show your skills. Show off your garden.
Ride a bike.
Ride a bicycle, for gosh sakes. Whatever it takes, it's out there for you.
Yeah, yeah. And stop worrying about things that, in the end, won't matter. I mean, ask yourself, in 1,000 years, will anybody care? Without asking, in 1,000 years, will anybody remember that I was ever even here? If you can sort of find the middle ground between those two questions, you might find some peace there, and it'll allow you to just enjoy the small things of life, which actually are the bigger things.
It's all you. It's there for you. That's your mental landscape. So get that head change.
OTW at 2600.com is our email address. We'll be back next week with hopefully working equipment.
announcement of their intent to establish a full 5-day renewable ceasefire and humanitarian pause. No bombing, no shooting.
Hey, this is Brian.
And Mikey.
And Pat.
From Weezer.
And you are listening to
WUSB.
90.1 FM, Stony Brook.
When you're on.
Hi, this is Jeff from Wilco, and you're listening to WUSB Radio Free Long Island.
This program is underwritten in part by the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, presenting a variety of independent, art, foreign, and mainstream films. That's the Cinema Arts Center, 423 Park Avenue in Huntington, just south of 25A. Box office number is 631-423-7611. That's 631-423-7611.